This is Fall Into Wellness, a limited series podcast sponsored and produced by Night Fairy Wellness. Host Sharon Elise speaks with influential speakers and partners of the Fall Into Wellness Retreat, offering insight and wisdom into the journey of each guest. Each episode will leave you feeling inspired and ready to join us on the journey to whole body wellness.
Welcome to another episode of the limited series podcast, Fall Into Wellness. Today's guest is Shanae, the hip-hop herbalist, social activist, and founder of Ivy's Tea Co., a hip-hop-inspired herbal tea brand that provides herbal tea and herb-infused honey for the culture. Shanae, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so excited about our interview today, and I'm loving all that you're doing. Tell us a little bit about yourself before we jump into the whole interview.
Sure. So again, like you said, my name is Shanae. I am an herbalist who combines hip-hop and herbalism and provides it to millennials through herbal tea. I first started drinking tea when I was probably about 7 years old. I'm the firstborn American, so I grew up with my British and Jamaican parents actually just doing everything over tea. I tell a lot of people that it wasn't until I got it till about middle school that I realized my Black American friends had juice, and we didn't have juice. We had water, and then we had tea. And so that's like how I kind of grew up. And once I got older, I started experimenting more with different types of teas until I got to the point where I wanted to learn more about what exactly I was drinking. I started taking an herbal apprenticeship, started making my own teas, and that's how I got to found Ivy's Tea Company. And I'm really glad that I used to combine my love of tea with my love of hip-hop music and hip-hop culture in a way that is really inspiring and actually brings more Black and brown people, mostly Black people, to the holistic health space.
No, absolutely. When Tyrone, which is a friend of ours that connected us, when Tyrone was telling me about Ivy's Tea Co., I'm like, yes, because I love tea. I love tea. And I love what you're doing in terms of educating people about the importance of tea, especially because a lot of people drink coffee, and it's like coffee is always that go-to drink for us in terms of like relaxation or like wanting to get some sort of energy. And I love that you are inspiring and educating people on this other lane of like, hey, there is tea. Because, you know, especially in my house, all we had, the tea that we had in my house was Lipton tea bag, and you only drank it when you were sick. Like, that was my experience of drinking tea. But as I grew older and began to educate myself on holistic health and wellness, I understood the importance and the healing properties that tea actually has for our body, for sure.
Yeah, that's what this is all about, just teaching people and showing people a different way to do things.
No, for sure. So what would you say has been your greatest lesson or your biggest obstacle to overcome so far in your journey?
I think my biggest obstacle has been overcoming my inner critic. Entrepreneurship on social media looks like a lot of fun. It looks like tips all the time is bending here and there and selling a lot of products and making a lot of money. But it's not always like that. You know, there are lots of days where you lose money. And those are the days where you wish, man, I wish I just simply didn't make anything at all. And there's just a lot of trials and other tribulations that you come across. But I think the biggest hindrance has been self-doubt and just worry that people wouldn't support me or that people would think my idea was stupid and would think that it's a dumb idea or wouldn't buy into it. But I've learned that it's really important to overcome, you know, your inner critic, your doubts. Don't let that sort of thing hold you back, but it's difficult because with someone else, right, you can just move away from a person and not have to deal with them anymore. But with yourself, your critic can kind of follow you everywhere. And so you have to really work on creating affirmations and lots of positive environments and some evidence-based proof that you know you do have it. You got this. You can do it. And that just requires a lot of diligence, a lot of fortitude. And that's really, really hard. Motivation and willpower is difficult to maintain. So that'd be like my biggest challenge.
No, for sure. And I love, like, as you were speaking, what came to my mind was just connecting it back to how you said that you started your journey because you wanted to gain this education for yourself. And like, that's what really got you started in studying herbalism. And then it's like you do it for yourself, and then this voice in your head is like telling you to doubt yourself, and you start, you know, it goes crazy. And we all have that sort of, I call it monkey mind, that like it's all over the place. But I think the great thing is that you actually are doing it. And I'm loving the fact that you are like really going after your dreams. Shanae, if I can share, applied for a pitch competition. And when I voted, she was like the lead. And so she finds out this evening whether she won that or not. And so when this episode airs, I will say whether she, at the end of it, whether she received it. But I'm confident that you will. Even you were so strong in your pitch. Not that I listened to anyone else's because I was there for you. So I'm not going to say I can't compare. You know, no, seriously, because I feel like it's so important that we support our people and support who we're connected to, because that's what everyone else is doing, right? Everyone else is supporting their tribe and their circle and whoever they're connected to. So I was there for you. So I was like, I'm not, where's her video? Let me watch this. And your video was so strong. You were so confident. The stuff that you're talking about in terms of self-doubt, and maybe even being fearful a little bit, I didn't see any of that. I'm like, oh yeah, she rocks this. I mean, you know, like, I wish I could vote more than once. I thought about that, like, maybe I can go back and use another email address and vote, but I wanted to be, you know, maintain the integrity of the process for sure. But
I appreciate you. Thank you so much. That was my very first pitch. I've never done that before. And so I just practiced again and again and again. By the time I had gotten my pitch to the point where I could say it without stumbling over the words, mm-hmm. I think this is Tyrone. It must have been like 11 o'clock. I had said this at least for like my entire pitch. I'd gone through it for at least 2.5 or 3 hours. And I finally got into it and I said it to Tyrone. And he was like, Shanae, where's your enthusiasm? I'm like, I was not enthusiastic. I did this 3 hours straight. Like, I'm tired. But yeah, you know, that's just going back to what I was talking about. But the importance of the power of the mind and just really, you know, remaining focused and clear on your goals, and how that's the biggest thing you got to overcome at any stage, not just with entrepreneurship, but whatever you're trying to do, if it's changing a negative mindset or if it's empowering yourself in some other way or losing weight or whatever, you kind of got to have that stick with it attitude.
No, for sure, for sure. So I'm wondering, why do you believe health and wellness is important, especially for the culture? What is health and wellness and holistic health and wellness mean for the culture?
I think that in a lot of ways, a lot of us have several issues that can just be attributed to imbalance. And it could be the simple fact that you eat too much sugar, all the way down to you don't spend enough time outside, to the fact that you don't sleep enough, or you continue to return to toxic relationships and toxic people.
Ooh,
you know,
girl.
There's just a lot of imbalance. And I think that one of the biggest things is we live in a society where there's a lot of wellness porn. Everyone's doing it, but they're getting paid. So they're making it look like fun, but it's really not. And I think that we have a culture that really pushes that. And so what you see on the outside looking in is people with like really bright pictures on Instagram, and people who are like super fit and people who are really happy all the time. And these are the people continue to push wellness and holistic health. And the truth of the matter is that wellness and balance and holistic living is actually specific to the person. You know, whatever is balanced for you, whatever you specifically can maintain without going out of whack, without oversharing, without feeling a plethora of negative emotions, without having to pretend to be something that you're not, whatever you can do to get yourself to a space where you are being true and authentic to yourself is real holistic living. And I think that that is really important for the culture, because what we find, especially in today's society, with all the socio-political issues that we have with this president, with rumors of war, with actual wars, with crises like those in Sudan, it's just really difficult to stay positive and to maintain a clear head. And that's because we're all walking around with so much imbalance. But once we are true to ourselves and living a true holistic life, what we find is that we all really truly want the same thing. I think that it might be maybe a bit too utopian and maybe completely unrealistic and something that will never, ever happen. But I think that if we all kind of just did a simple poll amongst every single individual, we find that at the core of it, we all want the very same thing. And I think that that's the key to building relationships and really changing a lot of things, such that for the demographic that I speak to, which would be Black people, such that we can feel equality and actually feel welcome and feel like true Americans in this country. So I feel like I talked like a lot around the subject, but wellness and holistic health is essential. because once we have identified the true self, then we can be of service to others. And without it, we just kind of end up in this individualist society. We just continue to perpetuate the same negative things that are going on in this country, in society in general. So that's why I would say that it's a big key for the culture.
No, you weren't talking in circles. Like, as you were talking, like, my energy is, like, vibrating. Like, yes. No, because it's so, so important. And I think I love that you touched on that point of, like, it starts with self. And then also that you have these people who are promoting health and wellness, and they're making it look really pretty. But to get in touch with self, it's a very ugly process. The healing is not pretty at all. You know, you got to address I feel like everybody thinks that it's going to just happen overnight. Like, I'm going to go to this yoga class, or I'm going to drink this tea, or I'm going to go to this seminar, I'm going to go to this workshop, and then I'm going to, like, find myself. And, like, you know, the whole being woke thing has, like, become sort of a fad. And it's like, no, it's a very painful process. It's a very just dirty process. You got to meet yourself in some spaces that you don't even – you might not even be aware of that are existing inside yourself. And part of the reason why I wanted to put on this retreat is so that people can address some of those areas and start turning inward. Because in order for us to deal with these external things, as you spoke of in terms of, like, government and wars, these external things are just a reflection of what's going on internally, because we are carrying this baggage inside of us. And then we're dismissing it out to the world, you know, this energy that we're carrying around. It's like, no, let's figure out what's going on with self so that then we can show up and fix some of these external things and be better people in the world. And that's really, you know, for me, why I got into this space and what it was about for me, because I recognized that there was an area of growth within myself. I got all this anxiety, this anger. And it's like, what are you angry about? Like, you're just mad about what, you know? And it's like, no, like, I want to address that because I don't want to teach that to my children. I don't want to teach that to anyone else that I'm engaging with, that I'm connected to. I want to, you know, as you're speaking about balance, for me, what balance is like this peace, you know, that, like, that flow where you can just be and, like, not have to worry about anything going on around you. And I feel like that's what most people probably are striving for, but maybe, I don't know what gets in the way of that, but that's what I'm saying, all that to say that you totally were not going around, like, that was right on, and I think a lot of people can connect to what you were saying. I'm also wondering, what is one resource, book, or tool that you've used to help you in your journey?
My biggest resource that helping me in my journey has been a book called My Life in the Bush of Goats by Amos Tutuola, who was a Nigerian author who was not that bright. Or maybe he was, who knows? He kind of wrote like a 7-year-old. So that made the book extremely complicated and very difficult to read. But what it taught me was the importance of doing what you want and just doing it. He came out at a time and was writing at a time where there were all these other incredible writers like Wallace Soyinka and Gugi Wathiongo, who were just writing these really prolific books. They were just really talented people. And Amos Tutuola kind of fell to the back of it because, like I said, his works themselves weren't necessarily as challenging and as quote-unquote thought-provoking as a lot of Western critics would prefer. But what he taught me was the importance of simply, once you make it up in your mind that you're going to do something, you should go ahead and do it. And you're going to produce it at whatever rate you can, however you like it. And I think that that's really helped me as an entrepreneur, as a woman. It's really helped with my confidence. And I'm sure that's not what Amos Tutuola thought that his novel would do. But it is something that is a challenging for you, but has also really pushed me to think outside the box and also to recognize and accept that done is better than perfect. And so I'm really grateful that I had the opportunity to explore that text, and I'm happy that it means as much to me as it does. Because we do live in a society where as a Black woman, sometimes we do feel like we're supposed to shrink. But there are places and entities out there that will remind you that you don't have to, and that you are actually at your best when you choose to do for yourself and be your true self at all times.
No, absolutely. And I'm going to need you to get together a book release for me, because I'm not familiar with any of the books that you just talked about. But no, it sounds like they are definitely great reads, and I would love to read them. And reading is also another thing that's, you know, good for our health and wellness in terms of, like you said, this book inspired you in ways that you never even thought that it could have. And I think that's also a disconnect in our community and in our culture, where the lack of, it ain't even a lack of resources, the lack of will to want to read different things and explore different, you know, authors, different, you know, I remember a time in my life where, you know, I was reading the same type of book, and then it, you know, challenged me to go and start reading other books. And now, so now I'm reading business books and political books and just different things so that I can expand my horizon. I think that's, you know, something that the culture could benefit from as well in terms of health and wellness. So thank you for sharing that. I'm going to be needing that book on from you for sure. Like, what, girl, what you reading?
Before I actually got into herbalism, I wanted to be a literary critic. That's what I wanted to do. So, I studied African American literature, in undergraduate school, and then I went and got my master's in multi-ethnic literature with a focus on graphic memoirs. So, when it comes to books, that's my first love.
Yes, I just actually saw that IVC Co. is doing a summer book read, that you're doing. And so, tell me, how does that work? Because I was a little confused about it. So you pick a book and then, like, we're going to discuss it, or, like, it's just, like, you read books out? What is the process?
Oh, so we're actually having a reading challenge. So it's like we have a little mini book club in a Facebook group. But the main goal is to get people to just read whatever they want to read. And whoever reads the most books at the end of the summer will receive a gift card to IVC Company, but also a gift card to Mahogany Books, which is a Black-owned bookstore in Anacostia out in Southeast D.C. So it's just something to really get people to reconnect with the books. I know that this summer is probably the time when I read the most. And I know that other people do as well, but it's just an opportunity to challenge yourself and read a little more, and also include the young children, and hopefully get the kids to do a little more reading too. Just another way to kind of push the culture forward and encourage people to develop the mind in addition to the body.
No, absolutely. So if anyone is listening and you want to join the summer reading challenge, you can go to ivst.com to join the summer reading challenge. So the next question, Shanae, is what is a quote or mission statement that you live by?
The biggest quote that I live by is one that I got from my grandmother. She used to always say, if you can see it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand. It's the importance of visualization and manifestation. And at the time, I didn't really recognize it as that. But now that I go every single day, like, I think about these things and how, you know, everything that I want, like, I can see myself having it. So I know for certain that I will have it, because I can envision it. And I realize that the things that I do find it difficult to actually manifest or see myself enjoying or doing actually don't come to pass. So it's just about the power of the mind. And I think more of us, you really should tap into it. We're a lot more powerful than we think.
Absolutely. And I love that grandmother wisdom, right? Like, we were talking earlier about, like, the self-doubt and that monkey mind. It's like, just like you know, if you can feel it and you believe it, and you can hold it in your hand, it's like what you're saying to yourself negatively, that's impacting what you're trying to manifest to yourself, right? So you got to, like, clear that muck out so that you're able to manifest intentionally, you know, so that, like, and manifest with a spirit of joy. Because I love the point that you brought up, like, the things that you don't really want to manifest for yourself, they never really come to pass. And it's like, that's the power of the mind when you really focus your intention on something with, like, all of your intention and not multiple things. I think that's another thing that we get caught up in. We try to do, like, all of these different ideas because the mind is so powerful. You may have one idea today and another idea tomorrow, and you're like, okay, I'm going to focus on both of these. And it's like, no, focus on one thing. And then you can, like, sort of manifest all these other things. So I love that. I love that you said that, and that's the quote that you live by. Is there anything else that you want to share with the audience that you haven't already discussed? You can say how you can connect with, how people can connect with you as well, and anything that you want to share with the audience.
Sure. I just want to tell everybody to drink tea, give the finger to coffee, come on over to IBC Company. If you're proud of your coffee company dancing in your videos, in the words of Suge Knight,
I love it.
You should come on over to IBC. You can check us out at IBC.com. We're also available on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at IBC Co. We play a little herb games. I'm always available to ask questions. I do Q&As and all sorts of things. I know that one of the biggest challenges that you might find is that you just can Google something and you just see so much information and you don't know what to trust and what not to trust, especially when it comes to the holistic health industry. But I'm actually very honored to stand as a person who can actually take sometimes complex herbal information and kind of break it down and make it in a way that's easier for you to understand, something that's in your language. And just to be an available resource for people. And that's it. That's all I want to say. Thanks so much for having me.
No, thank you for joining us. And Shanae and IBC Co. Will be at the Fall Into Wellness Retreat. IBC Co.
Yes.
Is the specialty of the Fall Into Wellness Retreat, and so we're so excited to have you as a partner. I thank you for joining me on this journey, Shanae. I'm so blessed to be connected to you. I'm loving what you're doing. I look forward to celebrating you this evening when you win this tip competition, because we already so obsessed in that in this moment. And just thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join me today. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, thank you.
I'm excited to announce that Shanae and IBC Co. were the winners of the virtual pitch competition powered by The Key to Everything. Be sure to connect with Shanae on Instagram at IBC Co. or visit her website at IBC.com.
Thank you for listening to the Fall Into Wellness Limited Series podcast. For more information and to register for our retreat, visit us at nightfairywellness.com/fallintowellness.